You would take your Bibles. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter. After several weeks in this particular passage of Scripture, you should be more than familiar with its placement. 2 Peter, chapter 1. We have been considering God's prescription for success. God's prescription for success. Success as He sees it, not success as defined by the world. Success by the standards of society is based on the principle of more. How much will it take to make you feel secure? And the answer invariably is more than they have at the present. Doesn't matter how rich they are. More. More than you had when you started. More than your parents had. More than your neighbors have. More in the materialistic sense. God's prescription for success also includes the idea of more. But there is nothing materialistic in it, of it, or through it. And in the past several weeks, we've learned about this prescription for success in our daily walk. A prescription that Peter states will keep us not only from falling, but a prescription that will keep us from ever stumbling. And the more I delve into this, the more amazed I am, the more saddened I am. Because what God is telling us here is that there is no reason for Christians to stumble. No reasons for Christians to fall. A lot of excuses, but nothing substantial to stand on. Nothing like, I couldn't help it. Nothing like, it's not my fault. A prescription that will keep us from stumbling. According to this passage of Scripture, our foundation for this prescription is our faith. And then he goes on and tells us that to that foundation, we add, first of all, moral excellence. And to our moral excellence, we add knowledge. And to our knowledge, we added self-control. And last week, to our self-control, we added patience. And another thing that I'm finding out is that oftentimes in our Christian walk, the things that we hear, the things that we read, the things that we learn, we immediately go into a time where we have an opportunity to put those things to use. And I think for some of you this past week was a time of trying of your patience. And the purpose for that was to show you your need for continuing to add to your self-control patience. And each of these qualities, Peter says, are not only to be in us, but they are to be growing. The Greek word says abounding. In other words, we as Christians should be manifesting these qualities in increasing abundance the older or more mature we become in Christ. There's no magic here, believer. Just good old-fashioned hard work. And we know from our own experience that patience is not something that just happens to us naturally. It's not something that just naturally abounds in us. It's something that we have to work at. And we come to the realization that neither is self-control something that is just natural. It's something that we have to discipline ourselves in. The only thing that we have from this list that is given to us gratis is our faith. We are given, according to Scripture, a measure of faith. But then it also goes on to tell us that that faith is supposed to be growing. Faith is a growth principle. And there might be another way to look at this. We've viewed this passage of Scripture in many different ways. We've viewed it as building blocks. We've viewed it as the colors of a rainbow with regard to God's promise. We reviewed it as a formula. We've been talking about it as a prescription. All of those things are true, but if you look at faith as something that is to be growing in each one of us, then you could look at each of these qualities as the fertilizer that is absolutely essential for that faith to continue its growth, continue its progress. And we need to understand in relation to this that the Apostle Peter is not telling us that we need to master one thing before we go on to another. Because I want to tell you something. You will never master patience. You might get hung there the rest of your life. And you might feel good about it because you are exercising and practicing and learning patience. And you're adding to that, to your self-control, that patience. But what the Scripture wants us to do is to move on from patience to brotherly kindness. And in order to do that, in order to be able to move on to the things that God has told us to do, we have to make this determination that these are the things, these are the principles that we're going to be adding to our faith in order that we might grow. We have that responsibility. So we are to add these qualities one to another. And then the whole process is to keep on building. We often look with longing at somebody like Abraham and wonder how he became such a great man of faith, because these principles were active in his life. Or Paul. And we look at these individuals and we think of them as super Christians. No, they're not. They're normal Christians. And what does that make us? I'm sure you're all aware of the Chinese proverb that tells us that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And in our present state, in our society, we want that first step to be onto an airplane. And in that way, take care of those 1,000 miles. But think again. It's called the Christian walk. Now, lest you become weary in well-doing, the Bible does talk about the Christian who flies. Our ability to fly comes after we have added patience to our self-control. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, we read this. Yet those who wait for the Lord. Does that sound like patience is involved there? Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. In other words, this is a critical stage in your Christian growth, this thing called patience. Because whether you're flying, whether you're running, or whether you're walking, whatever stage you are in your present growth situation, in your maturity, Scripture says if you wait on the Lord, you will renew your strength and you will have the capability to do what is required of you. Fly, run, or walk. And yet how many of us become weary with walking? I have been impressed time and again over the past several years. The Scripture just keeps coming to mind, and it is probably one of the motivating Scriptures of the sermons that I've been preaching. It goes something like this. If you become weary in running with the footman, what are you going to do when the horsemen arrive? Meaning this, tribulation has a tendency to intensify, not slack off. And if you're finding yourself weary in our present situation, in your present situation, what are you going to do if it intensifies and if it gets worse? What we need to do is to cultivate and learn the art of waiting on the Lord. We even have a song that is pretty popular in the Christian world. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Down on my knees, where in your own good time you will answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in patience, in prayer, for an answer from you. And then it goes through the refrain again, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Tim Hansel, quoted in Christianity Today, made this statement. He said, we don't need fasten your seatbelt signs in our pews because we no longer fly. We're like a group of geese attending meetings every Sunday where we talk passionately about flying and then get up and walk home. End quote. One Sunday morning, a pastor encouraged his congregation to consider the potential of their church. He told them, with God's help, we can see the day when this church will go from crawling to walking. Now understand, this church that he's speaking of here is a lot different than this church that we're in today, because they responded to the things that he was saying verbally, giving him encouragement as he preached. And they said this, the people responded, let the church walk, Pastor, let the church walk. He continued, when the church begins to walk, next the church can begin to run. And the people shouted, let the church run, pastors. Let the church run. The pastor continued. And finally, the church can move from running to flying. Oh, the church can fly, he said. But of course, that's going to take lots of money for that to happen. The congregation grew quiet. And from the back, someone mumbled, let the church crawl, Pastor. Let the church crawl. See, beloved people, when it comes down to costing us something, we change our perspective on what the church is capable of. And that is why the church, to a large degree, in too many ways, is crippled. It's why we're not seeing the signs, the wonders, the miraculous power of the Lord being unleashed. Because God's people have become complacent. They have settled for crawling when Scripture says we can fly. You willing to pay the price? You see, we are too easily deterred from being and doing what we were designed to be and do. We are deterred by the criticisms of others or by our own belief about ourselves. It doesn't matter. The end is still the same. We are no demonstration of who we are. The story is told of a certain man that went through a forest seeking any bird of interest that he might find. And he managed to catch a young eagle and he brought it home. And he put it among the fowls and the ducks and turkeys and gave it chicken food to eat, even though it was the eagle, king of birds. 5 years later, a naturalist happened to come by and see him. And after passing through his garden, he said, that bird's an eagle, not a chicken. Yes, said the owner, but I have trained it to be a chicken. It's no longer an eagle. Even though it measures 15 feet from wingtip to wingtip. No, said the naturalist, it's still an eagle. It has the heart of an eagle, and I will make it soar high up to the heavens. No, said the owner, it's a chicken, and it will never fly. They agreed to test it. The naturalist picked up the eagle, held it up, and said with great intensity, "Eagle, you are an eagle. You belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth your wings and fly." The eagle turned this way and that, and then looking down, saw the chickens eating their food. And down he jumped. The owner said, "I told you it was a chicken." "No," said the naturalist, "it's an eagle. Give me another chance." So the next day he took it to the top of the house and said, "Eagle, you are an eagle. Stretch forth your wings and fly." But again, the eagle, seeing the chickens feeding, jumped down and fed with them. The owner said, "I told you it was a chicken." "No," answered the naturalist, "it's an eagle. And it has the heart of an eagle. Only give it one more chance and I will make it fly tomorrow." The next morning he rose early and took the eagle outside the city and away from the house to the foot of a high mountain. The sun was just rising, gliding the top of the mountain or gilding the top of the mountain with gold, and every crag was glistening in the joy of that beautiful morning. He picked up the eagle and he said to it, "Eagle, you are an eagle. You belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth your wings and fly." The eagle looked around and trembled as if new life were coming to it, yet it did not fly. The naturalist then made it look straight at the sun. Suddenly it stretched out its wings, and with the screech that only an eagle can make, it mounted higher and higher and never returned. It was an eagle, though it had been kept and tamed as a chicken. Now what are you? I like the bumper sticker that reads, "It's hard to soar with the eagles when you're surrounded by turkeys." Turkeys, chickens, they're not eagles. And they don't pretend to be. We're not turkeys or chickens, so let's not pretend to be. We have been created in the image of God, but others have told us that we're chickens. We've been created in the image of God, but for too long we've eaten the fare of chickens, we've roosted with chickens, and we've squawked like chickens, and in times of distress we've turned to chickens for comfort and advice. And consequently, that's how we see ourselves. That's what we think we are. In order to become who we are created to be and to do what we were created to do, we must look away from the chickens and turkeys and we must look to the sun and fly. An American Indian tells about a brave who found an eagle's egg. And he put it into the nest of a prairie chicken. What's with these guys? The eaglet hatched with a brood of chicks, and it grew up with them all his life. The changeling eagle thought it was a prairie chicken and did what prairie chickens did. He scratched in the dirt for seeds and insects to eat. He clucked and cackled, and he flew in a brief thrashing of wings and flurry of feathers, no more than a few feet off the ground. After all, that's how prairie chickens fly. Years passed, and the changeling eagle grew older. And one day he saw a magnificent bird far above him in the cloudless sky, hanging with graceful majesty on the powerful wind currents. It soared with scarcely a beat of its strong golden wing. "What a beautiful bird," said the eagle to his neighbor. "What is it?" "That's an eagle, the chief of birds," the neighbor chuckled. "But don't give it a thought. You could never be like him." So the eagle never gave it another thought, and it died thinking it was a prairie chicken. You see the difference? Beloved people, we have choices. We can either believe what our flesh is saying about us, what the world says about us, what the devil says about us, or what God says about us. Who are you going to believe? The Bible says this, let God be true and everyone else a liar. When you put the two things in perspective, it doesn't matter how much or how many you put over on that side. If the whole world is saying you are a chicken and God says, I created you to be an eagle, what are you? And unfortunately, too many of God's people turn to the clamor and the noise of those individuals around them, and they buy into that false sense that is being presented to them. And as a result, they lose their capability of being and doing what God designed them to be. Hannah Whitehall Smith, an incredible woman of God, wrote several books. I think we have some of them in our library if you're interested. But she said this, the mother eagle teaches her little ones to fly by making their nest so uncomfortable that they are forced to leave it and commit themselves to the unknown currents of the wind. She makes their nest so uncomfortable, they're forced to fly. Do you know, beloved people, that that's oftentimes God's purpose in our tribulations, in our travails, in our trials, is to force us into a situation that is beyond our capability, beyond the natural, where we rely totally upon God to fly. A number of years ago, Carol and I were visiting family in Albuquerque. And I don't know the name of that big mountain that overlooks Albuquerque, but I went up there by myself to spend some time with the Lord. And there's all sorts of trails through the ridge of that mountain. And I was walking those trails, and suddenly I came upon a bluff overlooking Albuquerque. And standing on the edge of the bluff, probably 3 or 4 deep, were individuals with these kites strapped to their backs. And one by one, they were stepping off. And the wind would come up and catch the wings of their kite, and off they would soar, gliding for hours. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you need to commit yourself to me, to my spirit, like those individuals are committing themselves to the air currents. Let me be the wind beneath your wings. Beloved people, we are never going to be able to fly until we commit to the Spirit of God. You see, the Bible says that the Spirit is the breath of God. And that breath gives us lift in our times of trouble, peace in our times of turmoil, security in our times of fear. But we're faced with a choice. For the most part, we've been raised with chickens. So what are we going to do? Are we going to believe God? Or are we going to believe the rest of the chickens? The Word of God says, add to your self-control patience and begin to fly. Patience. Beloved people, we're of a different world. Do you know that that's what the Bible says about us? You know what it calls us? Aliens. Aliens. They're getting a lot of coverage in our society in the past 30 years. Aliens. But Scripture says that's what we are. We have citizenship beyond the boundaries of this earth. And we have a responsibility to that citizenship, to be what God has created us to be, to prove to the world who we are and what God is all about. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we pray that by your Spirit you would enable us to add to our self-control patience. Because you have promised us that those who wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. We will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. Our prayer, Lord, is that you would help us by your Spirit to wait productively, coming to the realization that we are adding to our self-control patience, that even in our waiting, we are growing. Make us strong. Help us soar. For your great name's sake, in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.